The Office of Personnel Management starts notifying employees today that their personal information may have been compromised. Up to 4 million current and former federal employees might be affected. Now the question is, has the government learned anything from this incident, or is it lurching from crisis to crisis? For a look ahead, we turn to SANS Institute's Director of Research, Alan Paller, who joins me now in the studio. Alan, good morning. Great to have you in.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so it does seem like the government is reacting across the government, the White House and Homeland Security, but it seems like this caught them off guard, and after all these years, should it have?
I think they should have been aware that intruders were already inside these federal agencies and not be surprised at all that data is being stolen. We have had a regime in Washington, a cybersecurity regime, not an executive regime, that has paid attention to cybersecurity whenever noise levels rose in the press and then immediately dropped it. And when they did pay attention, they often did the wrong things. And I think that's what the interesting part of the story is here is, what did we do? What are we doing in the aftermath of not only this attack, but they had another attack last December. And at some point, you've got to say, what are they doing? And I think that's worth talking about.
Yeah, U.S. CERT has told, in fact, our own Jason Miller has the story posted now, that there were 9 incidents between July of 2014 and now. The 9th one, the latest one being the latest OPM breach, which actually happened in December. They discovered it in April and just mentioned it last week. And so what should they be doing? And are they doing anything right at this point?
Well, I think you want to benchmark what they're doing against what the best of the commercial organizations are doing. It's pretty easy to know what the best organizations are. Cisco, for example, runs a phenomenal cybersecurity operation. And if you just contrast what Cisco does to what OPM does, you get the clearest view of what's wrong with cybersecurity in the federal government. In federal agencies, they're surprised when they're attacked, or at least verbally, they're surprised when they're attacked. At a place like Cisco, they simply monitor the successful attacks. And your reaction in Washington is, they've been attacked? Shouldn't we all hear about it? Instead of course they've been attacked. The change in the last 3 years has been everyone has been penetrated. Now, 3 years ago, there was actually a chance you could stop most of them, but the attack techniques have gotten so sophisticated that now they're in. So the real question is, what has to change in the defenses? And that's worth talking about.
Yeah, so what does have to change in the defenses?
2 things. If you look at the words of the OPM people and what they did in the aftermath of the last attack and what they're doing now, they said, we bought tools that will help us find things. We bought tools that will do this. We bought tools that will do that. What has happened over the last 15 years is agencies in particular have layered on tools that find things, that notify of things. But do you notice none of those tools are and get them out? None of the tools are and find out how to stop it in the future. They're all about, we're going to notice it earlier. That's wonderful. Noticing it earlier really matters. But what really makes the difference between incompetence and competence is what you do when you're attacked. And right now, the federal agencies are doing exactly the opposite of what they should be doing when they're attacked.
Because we've heard the term continuous monitoring, which seems to be the way you describe what they're doing. Now they're using the term continuous diagnostics and mitigation, but it seems like the mitigation part hasn't really come into play yet.
Right. In fact, the continuous diagnostics haven't come into play yet either. If you go and look at what's actually happened under the CDM program, the answer is nothing. They've talked about readiness to implement, but the actual implementation is so thin that it's embarrassing. And the reason I'm being so negative is at some point we have to stop pretending that the people who are implementing FISMA compliance are actually doing security. They're actually doing reporting, and reporting is valuable, but they're not the security people, they're the reporters. So think of them as journalists like you. They're just writing reports about things. They're not fixing it. And what we have to change is how we fix it. And there are 2 things we need to do, neither of which are happening at OPM. One is, we have to establish a means of finding these things before they do damage. So what we're doing is we're finding them after they've done a lot of damage. And what you'll find at a Cisco is they actually monitor all of their attacks and learn from them. And that you'll find that at all of the solid organizations at Google does that. Facebook does that. All the places that actually care about security and in an actionable sense, they monitor. But more importantly, they bring in teams of people, not that they hire as contractors, but actually on staff, who can dig in and find the bad code fast before it does a lot of damage. So they look to find things quickly, but then they fix it fast. And what OPM is not doing is fixing it fast because they don't have the staff to fix it fast.
What if the bad code coming in doesn't have a signature that's known to, like, that's probably the issue with Einstein that the federal government is installing. It doesn't know what it doesn't know. And so how do you know when there's bad code that is not detectable by the standard tools? And then I guess once you find the bad code, then you can kill it. But how do you find it?
That's particularly relevant in this case. This was one of the four or five most sophisticated attacks to hit U.S. government agencies. And that comes from the people inside who are doing the actual analysis. Let me stop for a second. The reason SANS does what it does is that our faculty are called in on substantially all of the major cases. And although they never talk about what they learned in that case, they translate it into the courses. So we shift the idea of hyperbole about these things to actually teaching people how to do something about it. And this particular case had 0 days in it that were the kinds of things you don't find with signature-based technology. But what you do about it is you build in I'm going to use the word continuous monitoring differently from the way it's been used in government. You build in continuously monitoring log analysis and network analysis tools that show you that something's doing something differently from the way it should be doing it. And then you have people, and the key is people with technical skills who can go in and see if that corresponds with something that shouldn't be happening. Tools won't solve this problem because people can buy the tools, work their attacks to go around the tools, and then the tools are dead.
Everybody's got the same tools. We're speaking with the SANS Institute's Director of Research, Alan Paller. Well, the way you describe a proper response raises a couple of questions. One is the sheer number of attacks. I think the VA CIO recently said they're getting something like a billion attacks every week or some astronomical number, so exponentially more than people were getting a few years ago. And so is it possible to do this log analysis, network log analysis, when the volume keeps going up exponentially of the potential attacks?
Yes. If you do one other thing, the Australians have done it government-wide. Lots of companies have done it. If you implement basic hygiene, and what I mean by basic hygiene are things like application whitelisting, like administrator privileges reductions, like application updates within 24 to 48 hours. If you do those basic things inside your system, you don't care that so many things are trying to hit you because they don't get through. What's happening right now
it's like having an umbrella when it's raining.
Yeah, or like washing your hands between patients if you're a doctor. I mean, this is basic hygiene. And if you don't do that, you're going to be sick. So what's happening is because they haven't implemented the basic defenses, the Center for Internet Security is leading the way on this. Jane Hole Lute, who was Deputy Secretary of DHS, is leading the way on changing people's attention from buying new tools to implementing basic hygiene. The vendors don't make much money when you implement basic hygiene, so your CISOs don't want to do it because it causes people to have to work, but that's what their job is. So basic hygiene and then find them and get them out fast are the way out of this.
And a lot of the initial monitoring systems were there to make sure that applications are patched and up to date quickly. That sounds like sort of a stodgy way of looking at it, but it sounds like it's still very, very important even now to make sure every application is patched as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's the third most important one. The administrative privileges is more important, and the application whitelisting is even more important than that. But those four, the Australians actually are out having said, we've stopped it. We've stopped the attacks that you guys are getting hit with.
And OPM, I think, made a move last week to change administrative privileges and remote access to logs and so forth, but kind of like closing the barn door after the pig got out.
Yeah, and they only did half the job. They did it for remote access. They didn't do it for internal access. And what actually happens is they use other techniques to become internal users, and then they use the administrative privileges to expand throughout the agency. So, yeah, they got half of it.
I guess it's still possible. We don't know yet, but it's possible this could have been an inside job. Is that true?
You can't tell the difference between an inside job and an outside job now, Tom, because the way the attackers work is they break in through spear phishing or another technique because you didn't have application whitelisting. And so they're in. And then are they an insider or an outsider? The user account that did it is an insider account. But whether an employee was engaged in it or a contractor was engaged in it, I don't know.
And I guess it's also the unknown is kind of still shocking and maybe a little scary. They really don't know how many people were affected or how much data was taken at this point.
They know what was touched. They don't know. They say they don't know what was taken. The Chinese have a different technique from the Russians. The Chinese actually use what they call 1,000 grains of sand, where they take everything and then filter it because they got all these people who can filter it back home. The Russians actually go in and get what they want. U.S. does too. They go in and get what they want. They don't take everything, but the Chinese have all of it.
All right. Well, so then I guess the final question I had was the idea of information sharing among parties, public and private, is part of the legislation that hasn't passed. This seems like an ideal situation where some information sharing might have been useful.
It's highly overrated, Tom. Information sharing wouldn't have helped.
All right. Why not?
Oh, because the techniques that were used were new. And there wasn't someone who's been hit by that technique before. So there wasn't anyone who could have shared the technique that you would have needed to stop that one.
All right. Alan Paller is Director of Research at the SANS Institute. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome, Tom.